Well, this hour, in addition to continuing to talk with Jeffrey Smith about this Monsanto lawsuit, we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Jeffrey Smith with us. Jeffrey, how long has this sickness with Dwayne Johnson been going on?
He got drenched in 2013, and then it actually took about 2 years from spraying till he got his cancer. And then because they didn't respond to his requests, he continued to spray for a third year, even though he had cancer. So he started spraying in 2013, and he's had cancer for about 3 years.
Jeez. So it's a sad story, isn't it?
It's very sad. I mean, his wife works two jobs. She works. She travels an hour a day. She works at the Napa school district so her kids can go to school there. He's just 46 years old. It's really sad. As Brent Wisner said in the opening remarks, he said it was very difficult for him to say to the jury that Lee was going to die, and that the doctors basically said there's no hope, and he was living on borrowed time.
It's unbelievable. You would think they would want to settle this thing and settle it fast.
I know. I mean, talk about the worst possible nightmare for Monsanto. Someone that there's actually recordings of the conversation or the emails that went from the people that took the calls from Lee Johnson to the medical director, and that was read off to the jury, and there's an email that comes back from the medical director says I will call him, and there was no, and Monsanto admitted they never called him.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Frank in Hollywood, Maryland, to get us started. Hey, Frank, go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
Thanks,
I'm not much of a leadoff man, but thank you.
There you are.
Are there any statistics of Monsanto workers preparing the Roundup and other chemicals as opposed to those who purchase and use them? You might have covered this. I was in the convenience store getting a quick cup of coffee, so.
Well, it's an interesting question, Frank, but Monsanto does not allow its internal records to be exposed, and they actually don't do a lot of research that they don't need to, because then they may be forced to turn it over in cases like this. Years ago, they found that dioxin, which was a contaminant in their Agent Orange chemical that they were sending to Vietnam, was causing this thing called chloracne, just a horrible facial and skin disruption. And they had some people who were exposed in the factory get it. And so when Agent Orange turned out to be causing cancer and other problems in Vietnam soldiers as well as the people living in Vietnam, there was a trial, actually. And it turns out that it was discovered that a person working on behalf of Monsanto rigged it. They took people who were exposed to dioxin and put them into the unexposed group so that it showed that people from both the control group and the exposed group got this chloracne. So it was complete fraud. And on the basis of this fraud, the government had earlier decided not to give money to pay for the medical treatments for the Vietnam veterans or people in Vietnam. So they have demonstrated that they have lied even about their own employees' exposure, and so we don't have anything from that. But we do know that a lot of workers are working on farms and fields for Monsanto in Molokai in Hawaii, and I have heard stories that individuals are getting really sick, but they're not allowed to talk about it because if they do, they might lose their job. And Monsanto is the biggest employer on the island, and that we've also heard stories of the deer and other animals and wildlife coming up with weird mutations, etc. So it's hard to get that information, but we do know that people living downwind, for example, in Kauai on the west side, there was a school that I visited where when the wind shifted, sometimes the pesticides, and this was not Monsanto, this was Dow, would come in to this school, and everyone would get sick, and they had to rush kids to the hospital, and kids had bleeding noses, and it turns out that many of the chronic conditions associated with pesticide poisoning are just frequent there. So you have high levels of congenital birth defects, you have several teachers that got cancer, and some people, when they left the area, they got better, and when they came back, they got sick again. So even if you're not working on a Monsanto field or a biotech field, just living downwind from it can be a disaster.
Now, with what's been going on with all of these cases, you interviewed 18 top experts. What did they tell you primarily?
This is from the HealingFromGMOs.com series, which starts on Tuesday.
All right, and people can sign up for to watch, right?
That's right, that's right. There's two videos per day for 10 days. It's all free. And what happened was, George, I've been going around the world, 45 countries, speaking about the dangers of GMOs and Roundup. And people ask me a question that I've always said it's above my pay grade and I can't answer. And that was, in addition to avoiding GMOs and Roundup, what can we do to accelerate the body's healing from their damage? And I said, I'm not a medical practitioner. I'm not a scientist. This is not my area. But I started running into doctors and scientists who have been focused on it. So Zach Bush, who goes up on Tuesday, he talks about how he's actually looked under a microscope at the impact of glyphosate and Roundup on human cells and has come up with ways to counteract using this 50-million-year-old soil derivative. And then there's another person, David Sandoval, who he and his co-formulator figured out a way to pull glyphosate out of the tissues so that actually it leaves the body more readily, and he found that in his preclinical trials there was a 75% reduction in glyphosate in human urine, and the people didn't even have to change their diet. And there was another person that showed that if you take a pill along while you're eating the genetically modified corn, it will destroy most of the genetically engineered corn before it leaves the stomach. And a study came out 3 days ago showing that genetically modified corn can cause leakiness in the stomach and can cause damage there. So we certainly want to protect ourselves from that. Now, one thing, George, is that I actually invited some of the very top thinkers in the world, the people that teach and teach medical practitioners, and they're the ones that sort of pioneer and discover new ways. And what really blew me away is that this was not just, it turned out, how to heal from GMOs and Roundup. They gave understandings of our relationships with the microorganisms in our body and around us, different ways of understanding ourselves, different ways of understanding health that completely revolutionized my thinking about health and healing. And I know that we had just five of these videos shared publicly several months ago, and people said it literally saved their lives.
That's fantastic.
So I want to invite people to healingfromgmos.com to get this free online series.
Next up, Fred is truck driving in Jackson, Michigan. Fred, thanks for calling, and you are up with us. Go ahead, Fred.
Good morning, George. I appreciate the opportunity to get on. And Jeff, what an interesting and riveting subject. I worked in the line clearance industry for 30 years, most of it down in Florida. And between Monsanto and Cyanamide and a few of the other manufacturers, they would guarantee no off right-of-way kill after we would cut and clear right-of-way and spray for regrowth. And I witnessed firsthand miles and miles of off right-of-way kill where this stuff would leach through the soil and kill trees. I mean, tall standing timber behind the right-of-ways that they guaranteed would not be harmed. And the utility companies would end up spending thousands and thousands of dollars to go ahead and get these trees cleared that had died and would cause a hazard to the power line. And one more thing I would add, and I'll listen to you guys offline, but has anybody followed the money trail for these big corporations? You know, the back door. Who's is the beneficiary of the stockholders? Who's getting the big payoffs from these mega producers?
Well, thank you, Fred. It turns out that glyphosate can travel in the soil. So if it's sprayed in one area, it can actually travel to some degree within the soil, but it also can travel above ground. And now I'm not sure if you're aware that Monsanto, because glyphosate is a lot of weeds are developing resistance to it, they've now come up with a combination where plants are resistant to both a combination of glyphosate or Roundup, as well as a new herbicide that's been around for a while called dicamba. Now, dicamba can actually, once you spray it, it's just absolutely horrible. It can then revolatilize later and then travel even miles away. So they're facing millions and millions of acres of damage from dicamba that was sprayed, for example, in Arkansas, so much so that the Arkansas regulators have banned the use of dicamba because of this problem. And Monsanto did not solve it. They introduced this dicamba-resistant crops, and so there's a lot of off-target killing. And we also know that Roundup can damage the ability for honeybees to make their way back to hives, and so there's the off-target thing of promoting colony collapse disorder. And I think you'll appreciate that the organization called Biologics that was investigating it, it was purchased by Monsanto. Now, you asked about following the money. Well, I can tell you that there's an interesting, we talked about Robert Shapiro, Monsanto's former CEO, and it turns out he is now on the board of a company that owns Oxitec, which is for genetically modified mosquitoes, and Aqua Bounty, which is genetically modified salmon. So he's still trying to push
Frankenfish.
Yes, exactly. He's still trying to push that. Now, one of the big money givers is Bill Gates. He was approached by the Rockefeller Foundation some years ago trying to say that GMOs are going to save the world, and he's been since surrounded and insulated, so all the people he talks about GMOs with are the people that are pro-Monsanto. So he hired a former vice president of Monsanto to be in charge of the agriculture and aspects of his foundation. He just gave a few million dollars to Oxitec, Robert Shapiro's group, to create malaria mosquitoes, mosquitoes that can help destroy the malaria mosquito. But there's other programs that are much better and do not require genetic engineering that are not funded. So we have a lot of money going from the Gates Foundation into Africa to promote GMOs. The Rockefeller Foundation is promoting GMOs. And some people who watch this or listen to this show know a lot more about the Rockefeller Foundation than I do and their different motivations.
A couple states have banned dicamba, I guess, Arkansas and Missouri.
Yes, although the courts are trying to overturn it in Arkansas, so it's unclear the future of that one.
They keep fighting. Yeah, Monsanto keeps trying to sue, and so far so good, so we shall see. Let's go back to the phones. Monique's with us in Sunland, California. Hello, Monique. Go ahead.
Hello, George and Jeffrey. Thank you for having me.
Sure.
I have a comment and a question. Well, I was driving home, and I was thinking about organic foods and how I was talking to someone yesterday where I'm at the point where I'm not buying anything except if it has the organic label, because I had a bad experience feeling in my mouth, and I made that decision, but I'm still, like, eating, you know, if it's free food or, you know, something like that, I'll eat it. But, you know, you were saying about the wheat being sprayed, and I was eating a slice of vegan pizza, and I put it down, and I'm not finishing it. But I wanted to make mention that I was guest teaching at a school last week. I'm going to give them credit, Vista Middle School in Van Nuys, and the students actually were writing their representatives, asking their representatives to have schools only be served organic meals. Now, I said, you guys can make history, and they were very excited. So they wrote their senators and their assembly person, state senator, and board member, and I just really feel that, especially for children and people in hospitals, that organic food should be supplied. And I guess my question is, do you think at any point now with the lawsuit going on and everything that we know, do you think that GMOs at some point will be banned? Otherwise, I just feel like we're on the road to just eating poison.
Thank you, Monique. In fact, I want to talk about your comment first, and then I'll talk about the banning.
Sure.
It's interesting that I created a film called Hidden Dangers in Kids' Meals, where inside the film I took some footage from a documentary about Appleton, Wisconsin, that changed the food of this continuation school. It's for kids that couldn't get along in the regular school. And what happened was the behavior of the kids changed dramatically from a completely out of the control school to much more orderly. And they saved a lot of money, less vandalism. And it turns out their kids were also taking less of their meds at the end because they were getting better. Now, in Marin City, in Marin County, California, there is a program where they've put some schools on all organic, which was even more clean and pure than Appleton, Wisconsin. And although I haven't been there yet, I've been talking to the director of the program, and they've had dramatic improvements, absolutely dramatic improvements described by the parents and the teachers and the students. And so they want to replicate that with some research elsewhere in the Bay Area. And then as far as eating organic foods, I would suggest not only the direct foods, but also the organic meats and eggs and dairy so that the animals are fed organic. I know I heard one story of a family that had their own chickens, and one morning the mother and the daughter were rushed to the hospital because they had an anaphylactic shock. So the father called this, they had just eaten eggs. So they've been eating those eggs for years, and the guy called the supplier, and it turns out they had just run out of organic non-GMO corn, and they started feeding, they just sent a batch of GMO corn. So that's an example. It's anecdotal. It's not enough to put your hat on, but it's an example of what I've been hearing from people for years who react to milk, meat, and eggs from animals that are fed GMOs versus not. And in fact, the FDA's own scientists said that the milk, meat, and eggs from animals that are fed GMOs carry unique risks and need to be evaluated, which they weren't.
Jeffrey, do you think that because of the potential liability of all this, that the Monsanto board, once they got the good offer from Bayer, jumped at it?
You know, it's an excellent question, and it's possible. I do know that the reason why everyone was saying that they wanted to buy another company or agree to be bought is that their fortunes are highly leveraged on Roundup. Roundup is a significant percentage of their sales, and Roundup Ready seeds are the other significant percentage, and Roundup is failing. Not only was it declared a carcinogen by the World Health Organization, by the state of California, but it is also the weeds have outsmarted it. And so it's over 300 million acres, or it's basically, I forget the number, I think it's 300 million acres around the world that have herbicide-tolerant, Roundup-resistant weeds growing on it. So they're in a situation where they were desperate to get other chemicals that work so that they can combine them with their crop systems, and that's what Bayer comes in. So Bayer has all these other extra chemicals.
Yeah.
They have glufosinate, which is used on Liberty Link, GMOs, etc. Now, Bayer was running out of different pharmaceuticals because the classes of pharmaceuticals seem to be drying up, and they were looking to diversify. So I think that each of them threw each other a lifesaver, and that actually is going to be dragging both of them down.
Well, I was going to say, it'll either save them both or kill them both.
Exactly. Now, Monique asked a question about whether GMOs will be banned. What happened in Europe is very illustrative.
Let's hold that. Hold that, Jeffrey, until we come back after the break. Much more to come, more of your calls, and we'll have Jeffrey answer that question about GMOs. Will they be banned? That'll be his next question on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Next hour, we're going to talk about botched surgeries. But when we come back in a moment with Jeffrey Smith, we'll take your final phone calls as we talk about the suit against Monsanto and Roundup and all these other strange things that are happening on this planet. And welcome back to Coast. Jeffrey Smith with us. Jeffrey, we're talking about Monique's question about GMOs and will they ever be banned?
That's an excellent question. It's something I've been thinking about for 22 years. It turns out that there is a ban in Europe by the food companies. It started in 1999 when a scientist, Dr. Arpad Pusztai, was ungagged by an order of parliament and was able to explain that he had discovered that the process of genetic engineering created massive collateral damage and side effects and that it might be affecting humans. And what happened was there was an eruption in the press, over 700 articles in the UK alone about GMOs within a single month. Now, according to one editor, it divided society into two warring blocks about the GMO issue, with some newspapers being for and some newspapers being against. But the turmoil among consumer opinion was so much that 10 weeks after the gag order was lifted, Unilever said no more GMOs in Europe. The next day it was Nestle's. The next week it was virtually everyone else. These same companies continued to sell unsuspecting Americans GMOs, but there had been no coverage of this scandal in the United States, so they just took it out where people were concerned. So at the Institute for Responsible Technology, which I founded in 2003, our focus has been to educate people about the health dangers so they make healthier choices. And I'm happy to say that now the majority of Americans are concerned about GMOs, and major companies like Unilever and Nestle's are starting to remove GMOs more and more. So to learn more about our efforts and to help our efforts, go to responsibletechnology.org, sign up for our newsletter, and if you'd like to make a donation to help us keep GMOs out of there. Now, the biotech industry is responding by using these new gene editing techniques, claiming that they're not GMOs at all, which they in fact are. And their main goal right now is to essentially genetically engineer anything with DNA, but use the gene editing techniques and to try and get it not regulated, not tested, and not even considered a problem by most consumers. So they could theoretically undo all the success that we've had in the last two decades. And so we're really trying to get the word out about gene editing and the dangers associated.
Chris is with us, first-time caller in Chicago. Hi, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you very much, George, for taking my call. I really appreciate the amazing programs you always have.
Thank you.
And let me say that tonight's guest is truly a pioneer in this field. We really need more people like the both of you in our world. And my question is for Mr. Smith. I would like to ask, what is your opinion on the link between pesticides such as Roundup, glyphosate, and gastrointestinal problems such as inflammatory bowel disease, specifically Crohn's disease?
Very good question, and I've got a very, very studied answer here.
You sure do.
So I have been asking audiences at 150 lectures what they noticed they got better from when they switched to non-GMO. And the number one improvement was always gastrointestinal. So we surveyed 3,256 people and who got better after they switched to non-GMO diets of a variety of conditions, 28 different conditions, and 85.2% of them said digestive problems got better. And these getting better was not just insignificant. 80% of those people, it was either significant improvement, their condition was nearly gone, or completely gone. Now, when you look, I published a peer-reviewed article in the International Journal of Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine. You can view it and a summary at a website I'm about to give you, non-GMOsimprovehealth.com. non-GMOsimprovehealth.com. And in there, we describe the ways in which GMOs and Roundup and the BT toxin insecticide produced in Monsanto's corn might cause problems in our digestive tract and in our digestive system. When you look at inflammatory bowel, which includes Crohn's disease, and you see its increase over the last 20-something years, it's rising in parallel with the increased use of GMOs and Roundup. Now, I originally didn't believe it when people told me that they could tell the difference if they eat GMOs versus non-GMOs, which I'm a little embarrassed to admit since I was already speaking in 25 countries at the time and reporting on the health dangers. But when I started speaking in medical conferences and doctors started prescribing non-GMO diets, they told me it was actually a reliable, consistent, and even expected aspect of when people avoid GMOs, they get better. So someone told me that all of their patients are getting better on non-GMO diets, so I visited the clinic, and I interviewed someone who had Crohn's disease.
Hmm.
And she said within 3 days, the symptoms disappeared.
That's amazing.
Someone else, they lost their irritable bowel within 3 weeks, another person within 6 weeks. So I would say the first thing I'd recommend is go organic, but I'm not a doctor. I can't make medical recommendations. If you want medical recommendations, join me next Tuesday at healingfromgmos.com, where we have 18 experts speaking about what else you can do.
Isn't it amazing? We are what we eat.
Amazing. Amazing. And not only that, but we are also the microorganisms. It turns out one of my speakers said that when the Alzheimer's patients and looked in their brain, there's actually fungus in there. Now, some people will think it's an infection and the cause of Alzheimer's. He points out, actually, it's probably the exact opposite, that the microbiome is there helping to preserve the brain, to protect it, to nourish it, which is the role of fungus in the wild, in soil. It actually nourishes things that need it. So it turns out that, I mentioned this in the interview with Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt that appears next Thursday, that the microorganisms are like the micro Jedi army that's actually helping us in our health, but not only our health, but also our intelligence. Because if you destroy the microbiome in the brain, we get dumber, according to him. So it actually supports higher intelligence as well.
We've got James in Beaumont, Texas, east of the Rockies. Hi, James. Go ahead, sir.
Hi. I want to make three quick comments before I ask a question on glyphosate. The life expectancy might increase because of the tariff put on Chinese food, you know. That stuff is slowly killing us. I think, you know, it might be a slow kill rather than the way the animals went out. But anyway, Mexico, organic, it sounds like a joke. I don't think they have any oversight over there. And they ought to use Monsanto executives in actual case studies, you know. Make
them eat it, huh?
Yeah, make them eat it. But anyway, as far as glyphosate, you were saying that they use it as a drying agent before they actually harvest the stuff.
Yes.
And mine is pretty similar to what the other guy said. Can it be that glyphosate is causing the problems that's being blamed on gluten? And if so, Dr. Wallach going to have to change his thing and say go glyphosate
free,
you know.
Good point. We'll bring that up to him in a couple of weeks when he's on, but go ahead, Jeff.
So, James, I feel like I planted you in the audience to ask that question. I was the first person.
Would you do that to us, Jeffrey?
No, I didn't. I was invited to do a press conference in New York called Beyond Gluten, and I was with Mark Hyman and others, and I had been nursing this idea that the impact of GMOs and glyphosate could predispose the body to gluten sensitivity. So I contacted a gluten guru, Tom O'Brien, who I'm interviewing next week also in the series, Healing from GMOs, and I asked him, this was a few years ago, I told him what was happening in the body with GMOs and Roundup and said, wouldn't this predispose us? And he said, absolutely, you're exactly right. So I spoke at the press conference, and then I had him and others support me in writing a white paper, which we published at glutenandgmos.com. And then soon after, Stephanie Seneff and Anthony Samsel came out with a paper showing the mechanism that Roundup causes all these different symptoms that are associated with gluten sensitivity. Then in an interview I did with Zach Bush for the Healing from GMOs series, it turns out he discovered the mechanism. He said one of the mechanisms, it turns out in the presence of glyphosate, there's an increase in receptor cells in the intestines that are associated with gluten sensitivity. So, yes, this gluten explosion turns out very likely to be, at least in part, supported by the increased use of glyphosate and also probably GMOs. And the study that came out this week shows that there's leaky stomach or damage to the stomach with rats that are fed corn. So it continues. The holes in the walls of the intestines, that's linked to leaky gut. And we know that both BT toxin, which is the insecticide in the corn, and the Roundup can cause these holes in the walls of our gut, and that links to autoimmune disease, inflammation, gluten sensitivity, etc. In fact, one of the graphs that I'm going to be showing on Tuesday is the correlation between glyphosate sprayed on wheat and the increase of celiac disease, which is the extreme first version of gluten sensitivity. Thank you for the question, James.
Michael is in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Welcome, Michael. Thanks.
Thank you so much, George, and thank you, Mr. Smith. I have to say, you said something a moment ago that just changed everything that I was going to say. You said that you are about to lose all the progress that you have made over the years because of some action that your enemies in this whole battle have begun to take. And the last caller brought up the good doctor who's going to be on in a couple of weeks. Here's my frustration, having a background in advertising. We're not doing enough of it. We're not getting the message out. When we dealt with the cigarette companies, we had to finally force them to advertise the truth. And you're losing ground because you're not using some basic truths about communication in the modern world. I listened to Dr. Joel Wallach for 5 years before he convinced me. I mean, doing it the way we do on Coast to Coast, as much as I campaign for it to happen, and as glad as I am that it is happening, and as much as I benefit by hearing Dr. Wallach every time he's on, I'm frustrated about the loss of ground that continues because we are not using basic communication principle for changing the public mind. We've got to do this. We've got to put our money where we know it will be most effective, and that's advertising the truth. Cigarettes kill. It's a simple message. And you've got to start doing this to the Monsantos of the world. Monsanto kills.
But can you say that, Jeffrey, at this point?
Well, there's ways to say it that you cover yourself legally. So, Michael, first of all, let me be clear that there's a threat of losing the ground that we've made. We're not actually losing ground. The threat is that if the regulators of the world and everyone else believes that gene editing is just, we just call it breeding. That means that essentially everything with DNA could be genetically engineered with gene editing, which is now very cheap, and then that self-replicates, and we basically replace the products of the billions of years of evolution with designer organisms designed by companies like Monsanto. That hasn't happened yet, and we're fighting, but we have been massively successful. We have very little money at the Institute for Responsible Technology, certainly not enough to advertise. We just did a fundraising program that ended last week where we're trying to raise money for short videos, 45-second videos, 90-second videos, the currency of the internet, where we're hoping that some go viral. And we released our film about pets getting better from switching to organic diets, and it's had about 20,000 views, so it's not yet viral, but it's getting there. So I have a master's in business administration. I have a background in strategic communications, and I'm involved because I felt the need in this particular area was for behavior change messaging. I think you're exactly right. Behavior change messaging, where we give information and change people's behavior on the spot. So the next film that we're going to be releasing, called Secret Ingredients, that I did with Amy Hart, we've been testing it, and every single person that sits in that theater or screens it decides they want to eat more organic than they've ever eaten before, and they want to get it to others, the information to others. So it actually is probably going to create an organic tsunami and help knock the nail into the coffin of GMOs and push much healthier eating, because I do agree that messaging is key, which is what I've been doing for 22 years, which is why my book Seeds of Deception is the world's best-selling book on the subject, and Genetic Roulette's been the most popular movie on the subject, and I've been very studying this as actually our tools. So I completely agree. However, advertising requires money, so I would like to invite people who would like to see us give advertising a chance, not just releasing films on the internet, but to actually support it with advertising. Please go to responsibletechnology.org and make a contribution so that we can actually be more effective and protect against this onslaught, which is going on right now related to gene editing.
Jeffrey, stay abreast with us. Keep us informed of the Monsanto case, which could wrap up in several weeks, I hope.
I will. I'll certainly be following it and be happy to come on and give you the report.
You got it. Jeffrey Smith. Originally, I started talking to Jeffrey about genetically modified foods, and now we've expanded it to include chemicals and everything else that affect so many people. But he is one of the best. Up next, botched surgeries. If you can stomach, stick around.